Praise God the Father, praise God the Son, praise God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Please be seated. When I was a child, I was the youngest in my family by quite a bit, and it was always a treat. My brothers, I have two, but they were much older and basically off to school by the time I came along, so they weren't always home for their birthdays, so it was a little more rare that we had a birthday cake in the house, or we would celebrate those occasions when they were home visiting for some kind of holiday. And when that occasion came, you were sure to find a line across the bottom of that cake where there used to be icing, because I couldn't help myself. I love the icing, I love it, I remember it, and I just relish swiping a little icing off the cake. I know it's bad and all the things you want to say, but you've done it too. And I can't help saying, if you have the opportunity over the next few weeks, go and try the cake at the Boll Weevil, and then the next week go try the cake at Manuel's in North Augusta, and you decide. So, I love the icing. And I was thinking about this in relation to our passages this week and in relation to the world in which we live right now. The icing, to me, are my favorite things. And when it comes to my favorite things in church or your favorite things, you might say, if you ask Episcopalians generally, what do you love about your church? Well, at St. Paul's, they're going to love the music. And they're going to love the liturgy. Love it. And if you ask individuals, what do you love at St. Paul's? They may name the ministries in which they find meaning and expression of their faith and community in their faith. Things like the Altar Guild or the Flower Guild or Outreach or the choir. We all have the icing that we love. But the icing is pretty thin, and it's what covers the whole. There's something, in fact, far more underneath the icing. The icing, it seems to me, is what the substance of the cake enables. No cake, no icing. And the cake is our lives. I'm not worried about how you actually make a cake. I can't do that. I'm just saying that the majority of what we are is our whole lives that we bring together. And it's out of the combination of our lives lived in faith together that the sweetness and the joy of ministry can emerge. But of course, this is not quite what Jesus said, but when two or three gather together, there's sure to be trouble. At some point, when more than one person is gathered together, there's sure to be a disagreement. Be it over a Confederate monument, or over the placement of a font, or over the ordination, or the ministry of women in the church. In the church, we can write an endless list of the things over which we can and have disagreed. But the miracle, perhaps, of the church, the miracle of the body of Christ bound together, is that we can be together through our disagreement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Somehow, the amount of love I'm able to extend to another, to you, is limited by the depth of mature, godly love that I have learned to extend within myself. James Baldwin wrote this: Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. In a more Christian context, I might substitute healed for changed. And I will submit to you that only what is faced can be healed. To me, that is the good news. There is a way through the hurt. There is a way through the woundedness that God has manifested in the incarnation to show us what that way is. And that way, of course, is to follow the path of the Christ, to follow His footsteps through the world, through the tension, through the disagreement, and not just in the church, in this rarefied institution where we find and love the icing, but out in the world. Out in the world where, as our prayer book teaches us, first, who are the ministers of the church? You ask most Episcopalians that and they'll point to the people in the robes. But the answer to that question is that there are four kinds of ministers. And they are listed in this order: the ministers of the church, the Episcopal Church, but as we understand it, the church, the whole church, are first laypersons, second bishops, third priests, and fourth deacons. What is the ministry of the laity? This is on page 855 of your Book of Common Prayer that you have in your lap right now. 855. The ministry of the laity is to represent Christ and His church, to bear witness to Him wherever they may be and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, and to take their place in the life, the worship, and the governance of the church. This beautiful place of worship and wholeness and healing as a community is where it begins. It's where we're renewed so that we can exercise our ministry of reconciliation everywhere we go. I don't often do this, but I am going to lay down a challenge. I'd like to call it an invitation, but it really is a challenging invitation. How about that? To everyone, Christian, non-Christian, member of St. Paul's, someone who accidentally stumbled across this on their Facebook page. And the challenge is this: to set aside the works of darkness, to set aside, to lay down your life for another. And it looks like my anger. It looks like my snide comment on the Facebook. It looks like my emotional response to the other side, to my enemies. We are living in a culture, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is happening right now. We are dehumanizing one another. We are dehumanizing the very image of God and placing an idol where only God can be. the idol of our own interest. The way of conflict, the way of church, the way that the body of Christ handles this is to face the truth with each other and never to turn around and walk away. That's what's between the lines of the gospel today. Someone has wronged someone else. Put that aside. It's not about what was done. It's about the response. The response wasn't to go and castigate the person who did something. The response was to engage them, to stay in communion and to never walk away, to do the hardest thing there is to do in life, which is to listen and be present to a person with whom you disagree. You can choose the way of Christ that walks along this path, or you can choose the way of the sword, and you can die by the sword. And that is beginning to happen. Now, I'm not here to suggest that we are on the brink of a civil war, but when I heard stories of the Civil War growing up, it was only ever, until I saw Ken Burns' documentary, it was only ever the glory and the valor and the honor and the faithfulness and the rightness of both sides. How does that work? What it was not was the horror and the woundedness and the brokenness and the devastation and the destruction and the psychic hell of unleashing violence against your fellow countrymen with whom you disagree. And the Episcopal Church split. But when it came back, it led to where we are today. And as I say, it's not a dress rehearsal. What's happening in the world has to be met by Christian faith. You cannot fix everything, but you can respond in the way of love right where you are. You can face it, and you can love another person through it, and you can set aside, me too, words that tear down, words that divide, and do the much harder thing of expecting more from each other, expecting more dignity, and setting the boundary when it's been crossed. I will listen to you and I will hear you with dignity, with godly, Christ-like love, not because I can, but because God empowers me to do that, to be the reconciling, healing balm of our world, and I will not walk away from you, no matter what. I will be faithful to the covenant that I have as a human being made in the image of God and healed through the love of Jesus Christ to hold us together. That is the challenge. That is the invitation, and that is the most challenging invitation that I think I know to offer. And all I'm doing is echoing the one that was given to us by the God who made us, who says that the way that leads to violence is not the way. Today's the day. Every day is the day to be an agent of healing, to be one who listens and one who never walks away from your enemy. From your enemy. There are lots of things you may remember about what Jesus says we are to do with our enemies, and our neighbors and ourselves. This is the ministry of mercy. It is the good news that God has shared freely, openly, that God pours out through us to each other. Mercy upon mercy upon mercy. How many times must I forgive? My Lord, my God, is 7 enough? Or is it 7 times 70? An infinite well of mercy. May the Lord God who made us bind us together in that love. That the renewal comes through the hands of Jesus Christ. Your hands, my hands, our hands. Amen.